Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13 Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 20th. Well, when you look at stock markets today, the majority of indices in Asia were in positive territory, although modestly so. But what you are seeing is that a number of these ASEAN markets, having had that really big pullback about a year ago, or a little bit more than a year ago, well, they found support after maybe a 30% decline. Then in the latter half of last year, we had that currency turmoil where a number of them gave up some of the gains that they'd seen in their currencies. But since that ended, what you've seen is that central banks have stepped in, they've raised interest rates, they've instituted a number of different policies in order to support their respective currencies. You've had a number of elections where, you've got democratically elected people coming through, and for the first time ever, you're seeing that people outside of the main oligarchies and political dynasties are coming into power. That's particularly the case in places like Indonesia and India. Well, the net result is that, well, when you consider that you've got this geopolitical strife in the Middle East, and, well, it's not just in Iraq, there's a number of countries are involved, well, separately, then you have this continuing open question about the relationship between Russia and Europe. Well, Asia is looking like a pretty quiet place, and it's looking like that people are using it as an area where they might be willing to park some of their cash. So you have the Indonesian and Philippine markets pushing back up towards their highs. That the original Asian tigers like Korea, South Korea and Taiwan and Hong Kong are in positions of relative strength here. That they have either they're breaking out or Taiwan's finding support in the region of its 200-day moving average. Well, you also have the relative strength of the dollar is helping increase confidence that the Japanese stock market might start to attract additional interest in here. Well, it's still down on the year in both local currency and US dollar terms, but that the dollar is strengthening from this 100 yen level. It was stronger by an additional 86 ticks in here today. And that, well, you have that very high correlation between the performance of the Nikkei and the performance of the yen, that inverse correlation. And, well, there's no reason to believe that that has changed in any meaningful way in here. Well, when you look at Europe, then the DAX had gone right up and tested that 10,000 level in July and is currently sitting around 9,300. It was a little bit weaker in here today, and it's bounced back to the region of the 200-day moving average. Well, this is where, if it is going to reassert on the upside, it is going to have to push back above the 200-day moving average. If it fails in here, well, then it will have encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. Well, that's a major that would represent a major inconsistency because, well, the trend mean has represented an area of support for at least the last 3 years on pullbacks. This has been a larger pullback from a higher level, and it was preceded by a failed upside break from the region of a big round number. Well, we talked a lot about these big round numbers back in July. The DAX pulled back sharply from 10,000. The S&P 500 pulled back not nearly as abruptly and has rallied back up to retest that area. It was stronger today by about 0.25%. And the NASDAQ had the shallowest reaction of all from the 4,000 area. And, well, it was a little bit weaker in here today. Well, pretty much unchanged, in fact. But it pushed through the 4,000 area earlier this week. Well, Europe is where the focus of geopolitical tension is, that Germany in particular has got a lot of exposure to in terms of business interests with Russia, and really what we see is that there's just this degree of uncertainty, but that a number of the hits have been taken for some of those big corporate interests, and that I think people are starting to reassess right now. But generally speaking, you have this deflationary outlook in Europe by and large that represents really downward pressure on the euro. It means that the ECB isn't going to be in any hurry to raise interest rates. Well, the ECB really has taken on huge additional responsibilities over the last 5 and 6 years, but their central and really their core mandate is to control inflation, and there is absolutely no pressure on inflation at present. Well, that's particularly the case when oil has been pulling back. And that, well, West Texas Intermediate was stronger today by about 50 cents. It's around $93, and Brent crude is firming from the $100 area. I think it was stronger today by just over a dollar. Well, it's fallen by $20 in the last 2 months, and some firming in the region of $100 is certainly not unexpected. But, well, it's going to have to do a bit more than firm here before people are going to have their shorts pressured. Well, what we've seen is that the oil market, having been unusually low volatility, has increased in volatility quite considerably. It's a volatile market more generally. You'd expect this kind of action. And, well, we're back at an interesting level right now. If you start to see prices fall significantly below $100, that is going to start to put pressure under a number of producers. And, well, if you look at this DNB Norasa or DNB Markets report that I've posted in comment of the day today, you'll see that, well, their calculation is that the marginal cost of production is around $85 for shale oil. Well, shale oil is the marginal source of production, and that would suggest that anything less than $85 is competitive and anything more than $85 is uncompetitive, and it suggests that $85 is likely to be a floor that beyond which you would need some pretty impressive moves in terms of a contraction in the cost of production or in a lack of demand to push prices substantially below that level. But what we can see is that prices are unlikely, in the absence of a major geopolitical event, not least in southern Iraq rather than northern Iraq, to push prices beyond the $120 area. But as I said, this isn't a very interesting level. Well, the precious metals were also interesting here, that silver, having been as low today as 1939, closed out today around 1949, and, well, you're still seeing that it's trending lower, that it's probably, or it's more likely than not, to continue to trend back towards that $19 area. But that palladium, which has been so very firm, got right up to test the $900 area at the end of last week and has had, two rather sharp pullbacks, is easing back from that $900 area. It was down an additional $14 today, and it looks like it's going to pull back and test the progression of higher reaction lows. Well, whether it finds supports there or not remains to be seen. But, of course, palladium, well, Russia is the swing producer. So it is also an indication of, or a barometer for, the perception of risk with regard to Russian supply. Well, you have the US dollar firming against a number of currencies at present, not least the euro and also the pound, but it's generally pretty firm at present. Well, part of the reason for that is you have the Fed minutes, and you have people on the Fed board starting to talk about if labor statistics continue to improve, that they may accelerate the pace at which they think they might begin to raise interest rates. Well, they're going to take it nice and easy. They've worked out very hard. They've put an awful lot of money into the system. They're not going to want to derail the recovery by raising interest rates too early. Well, it means that we're still in this sweet spot, that we have extraordinarily low interest rates. We continue to have a very benign environment in terms of monetary policy, and we're still not there yet in terms of any kind of action that might be taken by the Fed to derail that. But at the same time, well, the market isn't cheap. That when you look at Apple today moving on to a new all-time high, well, you have to ask the question, is that really because they have new well, they have new products that are going to set the world alight, like the introduction of the iPhone did 5 or 6 years ago, or is it because they're buying back a huge proportion of their shares and that investors have, well, the trend of investors supporting companies that are buying back their shares is well established over the last 18 months. Well, you might conclude that it might be both, but well, generally speaking, you wouldn't be buying the share before you see the actual product and exactly what it is, rather than anticipating that it is going to set the world alight. Well, I tend to think that it is probably more to do with share buybacks. Well, when we think about exactly what is funding those share buybacks, it's because they have massive cash balances in the case of Apple, but what Apple has been doing has been borrowing money domestically in order to buy back those shares rather than moving that capital back from overseas. Well, what we've seen is that corporates generally have been increasing their debt loads because they're presented with the lowest absolute and relative borrowing costs in some of their histories. So obviously they're increasing their debt loads, but it does mean that companies are becoming more debt laden. Well, obviously, they have plenty of money with which to pay down that debt, but that, well, the trend with which they are using that money to buy back their shares and support their share prices and flatter their earnings per share isn't something that's going to last indefinitely. Well, it means that watching the bond market is going to remain very, very key indeed. Well, it was a little bit weaker in here today, but not in any kind of meaningful way. So we remain pretty much in this benign environment, and the Nasdaq, well, it is picking up pace now. That 4,000 area did look like it was going to represent a potential area from where mean reversion would take place, and it didn't occur. So that would suggest that, and if you look at the chart, that you can quite clearly see that the pace of the advance is picking up. Well, you look, I click through the constituents of the Nasdaq 100 in here today, you're seeing that there are a substantial number of shares that are becoming increasingly overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. If you look at the very long-term chart of the Nasdaq, well, it's in the region of 600 points away from its all-time high. Well, if we were talking about this back in 2003 and we were to say that the Nasdaq was going to be back at its all-time high, but within 10 years, you would have been laughed out of the room, or at least within 13 years. But the pace of the advance is picking up, and it means that the low that was posted in July is the most recent higher reaction low. Well, a sustained move below that would, in no uncertain terms, suggest that mean reversion is underway, but in the meantime, that you have momentum continuing to drive the market. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.